It's time for Medical Monday, brought to you in the interest of your health by Our Lady of the Lake Regional Medical Center.
Yes, it is time for Medical Monday, and we're talking about genetics and whether or not colon cancer is hereditary. I'm happy to welcome aboard to the show Dr. Asif Talukder. Doc, good morning. How are you? Welcome aboard.
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
No, glad to have you on here. Glad to be talking about this. So colon cancer, well, cancers in general, one of the first questions that gets asked is about family history. But this, you know, leads us to believe that that is something we should lean on. A propensity for most people is they would assume there's not a need to worry about colon or rectal cancer if you don't have a history of it in your family. Is that true? Is that right for us to lean on that?
I mean, it sounds very tempting that, and it's a comforting story we might tell ourselves, that if there's no family history of colon cancer or any kind of cancer, that we don't need to worry about it. And really, that's just overwhelmingly not true. A family history can point us in a direction for things we get concerned about. But when it comes to colon and rectal cancer, over 80% of colon and rectal cancers arise spontaneously, meaning that the lion's share of cases have actually happened in people who have no family history whatsoever.
Okay, so if you do not have a family history, that does not mean you get to take your foot off the gas. But if you do have a family history, is that where that other 20% comes in?
Yes, that is where that other 20% comes in. And, you know, honestly, we are learning more and more about the genetics behind colon and rectal cancer. And I bet there are genetic mutations and genetic predispositions that will be identified in the next decade that'll chip away at that 80%. But for now, we know that 80% of people have a colon cancer with no identifiable genetic mutation.
We are talking colon cancer and whether or not it's hereditary or the genetics behind it with Dr. Asif Talukder from Our Lady of the Lake. Okay, so walking through that, would that actually lead us to believe that or walk us to the path that if you do have a family history of colon cancer, you're probably more likely to sniff it out quicker?
Yeah, so that is correct. So when patients do have a family history of colon cancer, it does make us screen our patients earlier.
Right.
So what we recommend is screening 10 years before the index case, meaning 10 years before the age of the person in your family that had colon cancer, because that gives us a 10-year lead time to find a polyp, hopefully, that we can remove prior to it becoming a cancer. And then we recommend screening actually more frequently every 5 years, just on the basis of having had a first-degree relative with colon cancer instead of the usual every 10.
That being said, why wouldn't the first screening just be pushed up for everyone? Not that I want it, but why would it be pushed up for everyone?
Well, I mean, we actually are pushing it up sooner and sooner. So we recently pushed it up from 50 to 45.
Yep.
And so that has happened. But there is a risk-benefit to the procedure of getting a colonoscopy and getting screening testing. And so what we don't want to have is a situation where we have too many false positives or too many people getting tested and screened and then losing reliability of the test or the impact of a positive test. So sure, I mean, everybody could get a screen, but then that we may get a lot of false positives that may lead to a positive meaningless to our population, and then people dismissing the screening test as not valuable.
Dr. Asif Talukder is our guest. We're talking colon cancer. All right, let's talk about those that do have a family history. Who should be most concerned about developing these types of cancer?
So first, anybody with a first-degree relative with a history of colon cancer should be concerned and should be screened. And our kind of non-colonoscopic means of screening, meaning stool-based testing, is just not appropriate for those patients. Mm-hmm. So those people need a colonoscopy. There's no weaseling yourself out of that. And not only do they need to have an earlier screen, but they need to have a more frequent screen. Those are the people who should be most concerned. And by first-degree relative, I mean parent, sibling, child. The next group of people that should be very concerned are people with multiple family members or a family member with a age of presentation less than the age of 50 years old. That is very concerning that there's a genetic component. The next group of people, I kind of think about a 3-2-1 rule. So if you've got three family members in two generations and one is less than 50, that pretty much hits every red flag for us that there's a strong indication that there is a familial component to a colon cancer. So that 3-2-1 rule is something that we rely on as something that helps guide us in trying to identify patients with a genetic predisposition to colon rectal cancer. But there are extra colonic cancers or cancers that are not colorectal cancer that are associated with colon cancer, particularly cancers of the genital urinary tract. So uterine cancer, prostate cancer, and breast cancer. And when you see all of those, it also kind of rings some alarm bells for us that colon cancer may be part of a defined genetic syndrome.
Is that when you're looking at your history or what you compare? Let me re-ask this. Is it just colon cancer in the family that you need to be on the lookout for colon cancer for yourself? Or is it if you've got other, you know, if you had a relative that had kidney cancer or lung cancer, is it just cancer in general would put you on higher alert for your own path?
I think so. And particularly cancers of not just the GI tract, but the genital urinary tract, because those two are kind of intimately related in our embryologic development. So yes, I mean, I would say, particularly when you've got cancers, multiple different family members with multiple different kinds of cancers, mm-hmm. that's another thing that kind of sets our alarm bells off.
Is there, and Dr. Asif Talukdar is our guest, is there a relation between colon and rectal cancers and other related types of, like, what's the connection there?
Well, we know that there is, for most patients, there is a defined sequence of mutations that takes normal colon tissue and makes it a polyp and then makes an advanced polyp and then transforms it into a cancer. And so that's kind of the 80% group of patients. But that other 20% of patients have something in the way that their cells reproduce that has them just rapidly transform from a normal cell to a cancer. And that is very apparent in colon cancers because the colon has a lot of cells that are rapidly dividing and shedding. And so when you've got something that goes haywire in that system, we see it a lot in the colon. But when we see, you know, cancers of other types popping up, it makes us think that there is something genetic going on where it may manifest other places and then eventually in the colon.
Hey, when patients go through testing, is there a way to determine if they are part of that 80% or the 20%? Like, is there anything that you're looking for that suggests a genetic inheritance?
So the most kind of the strongest indicator that we look at is family history. And so it is important, you know, families can be, even within families, very private about what's going on with them. But I really appeal to my patients that the things that are going on with you personally and your health will have implications for your family members around you. And so it's important to be as open as you're comfortable being with your family so that they know what the implications for their own health are. So multiple family members, that's a big red flag for us.
So in past editions of Medical Monday, we've talked with your colleagues about the growing numbers of younger people under 50, even younger than the mid-30s even, developing colorectal cancer. What do we know about the relationship between this phenomenon and genetics?
Not a lot. Unfortunately, we just don't know enough. We know that Lynch syndromes are a pretty well-defined cancer syndrome that is strongly associated with colon cancer is more prevalent in the population than historically was thought. But the younger patients often do not have any identified genetic syndromes that are associated with it. So for right now, we are not sure that there's a strong genetic component, which underlies the importance of patients keeping kind of a close watch of their own digestive health mm-hmm. and monitoring their own symptoms, and then not dismissing any blood that they might see in their stool as just hemorrhoids, and actually being seen by their primary care physician and even a colorectal surgeon or a gastroenterologist if needed.
Dr. Asif Talukdar is our guest. Doc, got to ask you about screening and what it looks like.
Oh, so screening. So first of all, there's no one size fits all to screening. Obviously, I think the best form of screening is a colonoscopy. And that, you know, is a procedure. It involves a day off from work. It involves doing a bowel prep. But that is not just a test that helps us identify an abnormality, but helps us prevent cancers from happening because we can identify a polyp and remove it right there on the spot. And so that is the thing that I think everybody identifies with screening. But there is stool-based screening that does, you know, need to be more frequently done. And then there are, you know, non-invasive ways of screening. The stool-based screens are the most of the non-invasive. And then there's, you know, kind of a limited scope that we do called a flexible sigmoidoscopy, which can be done in the office with no sedation. But honestly, I think if you're gonna be in for a dime on screening, you might as well be in for a dollar. And then let us just do our colonoscopy screening. But there are stool-based tests.
Whether one has a family history or not, it's important to be screened for colon cancer. So do you make a recommendation to, well, I mean, you kind of just did really, with if you're going to be in, you might as well do the colonoscopy.
That's correct. Because with any other form of testing, if it comes back positive, you're headed toward a colonoscopy anyway.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's something that you're paying for anyway when you make your insurance payments. You might as well get the most out of your dollar.
We've got Dr. Asif Talukder for just another couple seconds. Actually, within this last, one more question for you is really, where do we find out more?
So I would go on to our Lady of the Lakes website, olol.com/colon,
mm-hmm.
And that'll kind of be a one-stop shop, not just for colon and rectal cancer, but for colon health in general. But the American Cancer Society is full of great links and good information. And then there's a great website called FightCRC. .com, and that is also very helpful. I, you know, would always recommend going to websites that have been vetted by accountable organizations, because you just do not want to fall down a rabbit hole of false medical information.
Oh, no, absolutely. I am completely the internet hypochondriac from start to finish. That is me to a T. He is Dr. Asif Talukder. We appreciate a couple minutes this morning. Thank you so much for the information.
And thank you so much for having me.